Yeah, believe it or not, it's the second half of 2012, starting today, and July the 1st on Sunday, and we rejoice again in the opportunity to be in the Lord's house. Thank you for being here. Those that are visiting, we're glad to have them with us today also, and I trust that we can, as we open the Word of God together today, get what God has for us. And I'm thankful that we have the Bible to read, to study, and to grow thereby as a Christian, that we can be what God wants us to be. And I'm glad today for this opportunity to be in the Lord's house, and thank you for coming, all of you, and being here with us today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago. We went through the first three chapters. The last session I taught, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll finish up in Ephesians this time as I teach. And then we'll get into something else, Lord willing, later on. But the book of Ephesians, to me, is a challenging book. It's a blessing book. It's the Alps of the New Testament, they say. It's a book that we can really learn from. And I trust as we've been through chapters 1, 2, and 3, that the Lord has enabled us to learn a lot of things. And so today we're going to pick up with this and go from here. We know that the book of Ephesians in chapters 1, 2, and 3 is a book of doctrine. Paul is teaching the Ephesians. They're in Ephesus. Ephesus is a city of religion. Religions, maybe I should say, is a city of gods. It's a city even of goddesses. It's a city that is steeped in idolatry. Paul's in Rome when he writes this in jail. He's writing to people that he loves, people that he's concerned about. And I'm glad to know that as Paul writes to the Ephesians here, he's writing to us today the Word of God that we need to hear and we need to apply to our lives. So in the first three chapters, Paul was writing to them doctrine. In other words, he's writing to them what God has done for you. What God has done for you. Now, if you'll read these three chapters in Ephesians, first chapter 1, 2, and 3, you'll see what a great God we have to do for mankind what He's done for mankind in providing for us the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins, to become children of God, and to live with Him. That's a blessing, folks. That's something that we should not take lightly. We should not take it for granted because of who God is and what He's done for all of us. And supplying so great salvation for us. And we can be called the children of God. And one day we're going to be with our Savior, and we're going to live with Him throughout eternity. So we find here in these first three chapters, we find what God has, Paul is reminding us what God has done for us. Read them again, review them. Someone said that they break down the book of Ephesians in three different things. Number one, the Christian's wealth. That's chapters 1, 2, and 3. The Christian's walk in chapters 4 and 5, and the Christian's warfare in chapter number 6. That's a good way to break it down as you read it to understand what Paul is trying to say to us. And so, again, when we look at our wealth in Christ Jesus, folks, we have everything in Jesus. Everything we need, everything we should ever want in our life. You know, I like what the psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Won't. I shall not want, because He supplies our needs every day. He's our wealth. He's all we need in our life, and I'm thankful for that. Paul also tells us what we must do for God. That's our walk. Our walk for God in chapters number 4 and chapter number 5. How He wants us to live for Him, to serve Him, and to obey Him in all things that we do in our life. And then again, I said in chapter number 6, the warfare that we have to go through with. Christian living is based upon Christian learning. In other words, as we learn more about Christ, we want to live more like Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with being saved and going to heaven. I thank God for that. But you know, the Christian life is more than just going to heaven. There's something we need to learn, and after we learn it, we need to do it. We need to obey the Word of God. I think it's James 4:17. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a what? It's a sin. It's sin when we know we are to do something and don't do it. You know. So I say that Christian living is based on Christian learning. The more I know and the more you know about the Bible, the more desire we're going to have to want to live like Christ. But it takes Christian learning. It takes Christian learning. And that comes from the Bible. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, being taught the Bible, and having a desire to learn more about the Word of God. So we find here, this is what Paul is trying to stress to us. The believer today who does not understand his wealth in Christ will not walk with Christ. He won't walk with Christ because he don't understand what Christ has done for him. He can't see all that Christ has done for him. And so therefore, it's very necessary for us to realize this. And again, we've talked about how the Christian life is compared to a walk. A walk. How does the Christian life begin? It begins with a step of what? Faith. It begins with a step of faith, the Christian life. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Savior. I trust you've done that today. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. So the Christian life begins, the walk begins with a step of faith. We also see that the life involves progress. Progress. I don't know about you, I want to learn more about the Bible. I want to learn more about my Savior every day in my life. And it should be all our desire just to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul encourages us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, progress is so important in our lives as Christians. Don't be a babe in Christ all your life. Grow in Christ. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. And you and I will have a desire to live for Him and serve Him. Listen, that's what motivates us. That's what motivates us in our life, you see, as we go through this life. It demands strength. That is the walk of a Christian, demands strength. I can't stand here today in my own strength. I had to depend upon the Lord. Our pastor, when he preaches, he has his trust in the Lord for his strength. You as a Christian, when you go out knocking on doors and witnessing people, you can't do it in the flesh. You had to trust in God to give you the strength to do it, you see. So we see that it demands strength. If we do not, first of all, learn to walk as a Christian, we'll never be able to run the race that's set before us, or neither will we be able to fight the good fight that we have to fight for the cause of Christ. So we've got to learn to walk first. Walking is very important in the Christian's life. How are we walking today in Christ? How are we walking? How are we walking in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in Ephesians chapter number 1, I want you to look here. Ephesians chapter number 1, when we talk about the believer and his walk, the believer and his walk, verse number 1 tells us in Ephesians chapter number 4, did I say chapter 1? I'm sorry. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse number 1. Paul is writing here, Ephesians 4:1, we see here that the believer is to walk worthy of his calling. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk how? Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Worthy. Walking worthy of the vocation. In other words, that's when there is an inward realization that Christ lives in you. When Christ lives in us, we want to walk worthy of the fact that God saved us. We can't understand it. But we thank God that we're saved. And we know without any doubt in our hearts that Jesus lives within us. And we are a born-again child of God. Therefore, the walk of the believer, because Christ lives in us, He motivates us, He drives us, if you please, to walk for Christ. To walk for Christ. That's why you have a desire and I have a desire to be in Sunday school, in church. That's why we have a desire to read our Bible. Because Christ lives in us, you see. The walk with Christ is so important in our lives. And believe it or not, we can grieve and we can quench the Holy Spirit and not walk with Christ even after we're saved. Even after we're saved. But may the Lord help us as we, again, hear the Word of God. See, how can I say this? Listen, apart from this book right here, you and I will never do anything for Christ. If this book isn't part of us, if this book isn't in our life daily, we won't do anything. We won't do what we should do and could do for Christ. Maybe we should say that way. Not anything. But this is the motivator, folks, right here. Have we read this book this week? Have we talked to God? Has God talked to us through His Word? If not, maybe that's why we're kind of down and out and discouraged sometimes about the Christian life, you see. God wants us to read the Bible. That's why He gave it to us. And therefore, because we realize in our hearts and our lives that Christ lives in us, we want to walk with Christ. Therefore, we want to walk worthy of the vocation with which you are called. You know, I do, and I'm sure you do too. If you go visiting any at all, knock on doors and talk to people, you ask them, are they saved? Are they Christian? They'll say, yes, I am. You ask them, where do you go to church? And honest to goodness, sometimes they say, I go to church, and they don't know the name of the church. They don't even know the preacher's name. And I think within myself, how can this be? How can this be? I don't understand it to save my soul. I really don't. I think sometimes people just tell you that to get rid of you. Really, I believe that's why they tell you that, you see. But it's baffling to me how a person, and Christ lives in them, and they have no desire to be in church. I mean, is it just me? Am I thinking wrong? I know when Christ saved me, He gave me a desire more than ever before to be in God's house. And I want to be here every time the door is open, you see, because I know Christ lives in me, you see. And I want to walk worthy of this vocation that He has called me. The opportunity He's given me to be His children, a child of God, and one day be with Him throughout eternity. So we see, because of the reality, realization of Christ in me, He motivates me to walk worthy of the calling that He's called me and saved me, His children. Now turn it over also to in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 7. Look at verse number 7. We're talking about the believer's walk. We're to walk worthy of our calling. And then verse 7 tells us, look at it, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Not only are we to walk worthy, but we also to walk using our gift or our gifts. Our gifts. The only way we can do what God wants us to do is to allow God to do it through us. It's not our abilities. It's the ability that God gives us to be able to do what it is, that gift, whatever it is. In this flesh, I can do nothing to glorify God. I can glorify this flesh, but that's not my desire. As a Christian, I want to glorify my Savior who lives within me. So we see that we're the believers to walk using His gifts. Using His gifts. And then we find over in chapter 4, down at verse 17. Look at verse 17. That's where we're going to start today in our lesson. The believers to walk differently from the Gentiles or from godly, ungodly men. We notice here something very special here. Walking differently is an outward manifestation of the Spirit within us. It's an outward manifestation of the Spirit that lives within us when we walk differently. Have you ever noticed today the places you go? I'm talking about the places that you need to go. The grocery store, sometimes shopping, this kind of things. How you feel out of place in this world today because of the way you dress, because of the way you act, even sometimes because of what you say. You see, well, that's normal for the Christian, because the Christian is to walk differently from the ungodly people and the unbelievers. See, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange when you don't fit in, when you don't look like, when you don't act like, when you're not like the world. Thank God you're not. Amen? Thank God that God has showed you a better way, the true and the living way that He wants you to live, that you might manifest to this world a Savior that they need in their lives and in their hearts today. So we see the believer is to walk differently. Differently. Verse 17, therefore I say and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. We're to walk differently as believers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for using him, Lord, to pen for us, as well as Ephesians, this portion of Scripture that we have set before us today. We're thankful now that you give us instructions. We thank you, Lord, for the character study we had the last couple of months of David, Lord, and how we see in him our nature. We all have the same nature. Well, we're thankful that we have the same God that loves us, wants to direct us, wants to help us. And you have a plan for each of our lives, just like you did for David. God, we just want to give ourselves to you. And God, help us, ask you, dear God, to direct us in our lives every day, that, Lord, somehow we might accomplish for you in this life what you want us to. Realize that this life is a vapor. It only appears a little time and then it vanisheth away. So, dear God, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us power. Give us the ability, Lord, again, to do for you what you would have us to. Thank you now for this time we have together. Help us, Lord, today as we look at our walk as a believer and how it should be different from ungodly people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we see here in 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and there's believers. Look at chapter 10, verse 32. Verse 31 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 and verse 32. Paul says, whether therefore if you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. Now notice it says, give none offense, neither to who? The Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and there's the church of God who are made up of who? Believers. Believers. Okay. Now notice here, we are to walk, we're not to walk like men. We're not to walk like ungodly people, okay? We're not to do that. Believers are set apart, if you please, from ungodly people, from the Jews, Gentiles, from ungodly people in the world today. We're set apart from them. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, are we not? We're new creatures in Christ. Therefore, the walk of other men does not please God. But our walk should please God. Our walk should please God. Now, let's look at unbelievers this morning. First of all, Paul was talking about unbelievers here in these verses. Verse 17, 18, and 19. He's talking about their walk, how they're walking, how they're not pleasing God in their walk. Let's look at some of the things that we see in their lives here today. First of all, we find in verse 17, again, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, notice, in the what? Vanity of their mind. Unbelievers walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, what is he talking about here? The Christians here at Ephesus, they're warned here about the life of the Gentiles. He's warning them, don't walk like they walk. Okay? They walk in their vanity of their minds. The vanity of their minds. Now, vanity of minds means corruption. It means corruption. It also implies worthlessness, vanity. That means no good, right? In vain is vanity. Their minds are this way. Their mouths are this way. We know that sin is folly, and sinners are represented as fools in the Bible. Fools in the Bible. So we see here, a person living in sin is a stranger, first of all. He's a stranger to himself. He's a stranger to God. Both. A man living in sin. We see here, the mind here, we see the ability to know the truth, not only to know it, but to do it. But they're living in the vanity of their mind, the vanity of the mind. In other words, they're unfixed, they're unsettled. They don't know where they are, they don't know where they're going, and they don't know how they got here. That's an unbeliever, right? That's an unbeliever. They don't know anything about God. What does it literally mean? It means Christ-like, Christless. In the vanity of the mind, they're Christless. In other words, they're without Christ. Without Christ. Now we know that a person without Christ is in a bad state, isn't it? He's in a bad state. He doesn't recognize it. In other words, what I'm saying here, his mind never focuses upon God at all. Up here, he's empty of God. God's completely out. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. They never think about God. They never acknowledge God in any way whatsoever. That's an unbeliever. That's an unbeliever. Now, we're not to be that way. We're not to be that way. We have to constantly remind ourselves, you know, who we are, how God saved us, you see. But unbelievers walk this way. They live this way. Now, notice also something else about unbelievers. Think of verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Having the understanding darkened. They walk with dark understanding. In other words, they have no true light. They have no true light. It's not that they're illiterate, but they have no true light spiritually. They do not understand the things of God. They can't understand the things of God. They can't comprehend. They can't grasp the Bible and understand it. You see, because they're blinded. They're darkened. They're to be blinded. They're unable to see. That's what John tells us over in John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. That's why people today, they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are what? They're evil. They're blinded. They can't see. Unbelievers can't see spiritually. They're blinded. They have understanding darkened. They're blind to all the things that are important. They really are. First of all, they don't understand God. They're ignorant of God. They don't understand God. You see, therefore they say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. They don't understand God. They don't understand the way of salvation. They don't understand the love of Christ, because they never experienced that. I'll tell you what. When God saves you, when the Holy Spirit comes in you and you experience the love of God, I'll tell you what, that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to anybody. It really is. But unbelievers don't know that. They have never experienced that. Therefore, in trying to talk to unbelievers, we need to be aware of that, be mindful of that. Their understanding is darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They can't see. They need the light. They need Jesus Christ. They need the Word of God, you see, to enable them to see. See, it was the Spirit of God that used the Word of God to enlighten you and to enlighten me, to acknowledge who we were, sinners, and we needed to be saved. It's going to take the same thing to enlighten all unbelievers, no matter who they are. So we need to be constantly aware of this in our life. So we see that unbelievers walk in the vanity of their mind. Unbelievers, they walk in their understanding darkened. We also see in verse number 18, not only the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They're alienated from the life of God. That is, they're separated. They're strangers from God. They don't know God at all. They're literally strangers. They're cut off. They're detached from God. Now, why is this? Why are unbelievers detached from God? First of all, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's because they chose to be this way. They chose to be this way. By the way, do you realize that you and I, if we're saved today, if we're born again children of God, it's because we made a decision to trust Christ. We chose. We have the choice. I'm so glad that God made it this way. I can choose, you can choose. Everybody can choose to trust Christ. But unbelievers have chose not to trust Christ, you see. They've chose not to trust Christ. A soul without the true God. Can you imagine that? An individual today on this earth without knowing God. He's in a sad state. They're in a sad state, you see. No soul or no creature in this world today can live even 1 second without God. But yet their understanding is darkened. They don't understand. They can't believe that because of their sinful state in their life. Well, we can't live even 1 second without God, folks. He gives us the air that we breathe. He helps us to breathe. All that we are, it's all because of Him. In Acts chapter 17, verse 29, the Bible says this, by Him we live and we move and we have our being. It's all by Him, folks, that we live and we move and we have our being. It's not about us. It's not about us. And when things happen to us, you know, God permits that for whatever way, reason. Hopefully it's to bring glory to Him. If we accept that right, whatever it is that happens to us in our lives, you see. So we see here, alienated from God. They see nothing good about God. Who is this God? They don't see nothing good about God. They don't see nothing good about His promises because they're darkened. Their understanding is darkened. That's unbelievers. That's unbelievers. We also look in verse number 19. Verse 19 says, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Being past feeling. Boy, that is a dangerous place to be. They reach a point, unbelievers reach a point in their life when they no longer have feelings for God. No longer have feelings of God. For God. That's a sad place to be. I believe any person on this face of God's earth today can get to a point in their life by consistently rejecting God and His Word that they have no feelings whatsoever in wanting God. They can get to that point. And when they get to that point, there's most likely no hope whatsoever for them of ever trusting Christ as Savior. They said no for the last time. And God's going to mark them all. Just like in the days of Noah building the ark. There come a day. Noah says, okay, you better get in the ark. There's going to come a rain. There's going to come a flood. What did they say? I don't believe you. But the day come. Noah and his family got in. And what did God do? He shut the door. It was over. There was no hope whatsoever for the rest of the people on the earth. There was no way in the world they could get in that ark. You know why? God shut the door. There's a time, I believe, in every unbeliever's life when they reject God, that one day God's going to shut the door. It's over. Because their heart gets so calloused. Their heart gets so hardened. They have no feelings for God. None whatsoever in their life. It's a heart without any sense of responsibility at all. See, the more a person walks in sin, the more callous he becomes. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. You go into a restaurant and you walk in the door and you can't hardly see where you're at. I mean, it's almost pitch dark, but it ain't, but it's dark. And you fumble your way around and finally the person leads you down to sit down. And you sit there for maybe 15 to 20 minutes. And the longer you sit there, the more adjusted you get to the darkness, right? And finally, maybe even 30 minutes later, when you get ready to leave, you can see how to get up and walk out. Well, that's the way sin is. See, that's the way sin is here. To all of us, the more a person walks in sin, the more callous his conscience becomes. He don't see nothing wrong with it. He don't see nothing wrong with it. Sin is okay. What's wrong with this? I mean, I've always done it. You know, I've always been here. I've always been there. What's wrong with this? See, without feeling, the feelings are past. They become strangers again to God. Become strangers to God, you see. Blindness of their heart, that's past feelings, you see. Without fear of God, without regard of any kind of man, any man, people, they're shameless, because they have no feelings whatsoever. They become shameless in their lives. Notice also, it says also, giving themselves over to lasciviousness. That means to all forms of sensual living. That's letting the flesh have its way. Letting the flesh have its way. And may I say to myself and to you today that the flesh itself is not sinful. The flesh itself is not sinful. God Himself made a human body. And that human body is to be for God's use. Just like a television. A television could be used mightily for God, couldn't it? Internet could be mightily used of God. But what's happened to it? It's corrupted. It's corrupted, see. Man is determined to use it for other reasons, for other purposes, rather than to bring glory to God. Well, the same thing is applied to the flesh. Same thing can be applied to the flesh. But they, unbelievers, give themselves over to lasciviousness. Notice in this verse it says, the latter part of 19b says, who being past feelings, given who? Themselves. See, they give themselves over to it. It's not the work of God. It's they give themselves. Again, they make a choice. They make a choice to live this way. Unbelievers do. Unbelievers do. And notice also, it says, to the work of uncleanness with greediness. Greediness. Uncleanness is simply to be dirty and filthy. Being raised on the farm, I know what it means to be dirty. I know what it is to be dirty. I'll never forget one time, I was in school, college, and it's some, I don't know how it came up, somebody talking about dirt, you know, what is dirt and all this, and someone said that's stuff out on the ground, and you know, and the person knows that someone said this is stuff behind my fingernails, that's what dirt is, you know. But being unclean, being filthy is a bad place to be. In the mind, especially in the flesh. Having an appetite for sin, desiring sin all the time in our lives. That's being filthy. That's greediness. Wanting that more than anything in my life, to live the way I want to live and do the way I want to live. My wife and I went to a place the other day to purchase something, and there's some people in front of us, young ladies. And you see it everywhere you go. Sad to say, they were not dressed the best in the world. And what they purchased was not the best thing in the world to purchase. Alcohol. I mean, literally bottles of it. 4th of July, you know, and they got to celebrate. God help them. God help them. Greediness. Believers are not to walk as other men walk. We're not to walk like unbelievers. There's to be a difference in us in the way we walk. We're to walk worthy of the calling that God's called us. We're also to walk not as unbelievers. We're not to walk like unbelievers. We're to walk using the gifts that God has given us. May the Lord help us. In concluding, maybe I should say, a clear mind requires a clean heart. A clear mind requires a clean heart. And also a clean heart requires a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A clean heart requires a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're to walk to please God. We're to walk pleasing God. As unbelievers, we see that. We're to walk differently from the world, from unbelievers. May the Lord help me to realize that. And you know, when Satan tries to make me feel bad about that, I just had to say, Satan, get behind me. Leave me alone. Let me be what I'm supposed to be. I don't want your direction. I don't want your input in my life. You know? Because I want to please the Lord. I want to please the Lord. The walk of the believer is to be different. Remember our calling. We should walk worthy. Remember the gifts that God's given you. Use those gifts. And remember that we're to walk differently from unbelievers. We're to walk differently from unbelievers. Now next week we're going to pick up on verse number 20. Lord willing, we're going to talk about how believers are to walk after Christ. We talked this week how believers are not to walk after unbelievers, but we're to walk after Christ. We're going to look at the reason, and we're going to look at the way that we're to walk after Christ, the Lord willing, next week, okay? I hope you're getting something from this. Listen, it's good to know that we're saved on the way to heaven. But sometimes we need to be reminded from the Word of God as we journey here as a Christian how we're to live. How we're to live. We can all get comfortable, can't we? We can all get comfortable. But when we come back to the Word of God, may the Word of God enlighten us and encourage us to walk for the Savior. Because He's worthy, folks. He's worthy. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the Word of God that You've allowed us to have and just be able to share together. And God, I pray, Lord, as we go through this sessions of the Christian walk, Lord, You would encourage us as Your children, especially in these last days that we're living, Lord, that our lives somehow may count for You. Lord, I pray now, Lord, You will bless the service we're about to go into. There's our preacher. Give him power to preach. Bless us, the congregation songs, the specials. Lord, may all that's done today help someone to come to know Christ as their Savior. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.